Hello, and welcome to Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today, returning guests, Brittany and Ken.
Hi there!
Hello.
How you guys been?
Pretty good.
Good.
Surviving this winter weather over here in the Midwest.
Somehow surviving.
It's been very cold.
That negative 40. I mean, I know it was only negative 10, but that wind. Goddamn, that wind sucked.
Yep, I'm ready to get past that somehow.
Well, I mean, maybe we'll get that early spring that the groundhog said we'd get.
Hopefully.
Well, it's 40 degrees outside right now.
Which is beautiful. God, it feels so good. It feels so nice.
Indiana and Michigan are only places where you could have, you know, negatives one day, and then all the snow melts next.
Right? So you guys are joining me today for these Thor issues we're reading.
Yes.
Yes.
We are reading Thor issues 158 to 162. They were published by Marvel in late 1968 and early 69. The writer was Stan Lee. Art done by Jack Kirby. Inks were done by Vince Coletta, and leathers by Sam Rosen. And one interesting thing about this first issue, issue 158, as we get started here, it is a retelling of Thor's origin from Journey into Mystery, issue 83, which was also, that one, give the credit to where credit's due, was written by Stan Lee and Larry Lieber, and art by Jack Kirby, which is, I know it's only been a 6-year difference from when Journey into Mystery was released and when this issue was released. And Jack Kirby's art has become what we've known it. You know, what the historical Kirby art that, you know, most comic book fans know.
Yeah, it's very flashy, too, at some places, which I really like.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's very iconic. Like, I don't know. I know it now. So,
it's
very hard to know anything else. It's because now I know it.
Yes.
And when you, but looking back on it, you're like, oh, Jack Kirby wasn't known for this at this time.
Correct. Like you think Jack Kirby, you think of, he's got, I don't want to say a blocky style, but his way of drawing faces and drawing people is very one way. Like, he just has one way of doing it, and it's a known style.
Mm-hmm.
And to go from what he's known for, what he became popular for, and to jump back to an older version,
what he was doing 6 years previously.
Exactly. It's
within
it's
the same
different.
Book.
It's very different. Well, and then we'll get into it, but there's one picture of Thor in particular that I'm just like, that looks funky, but okay. As we start out this issue, Thor had... Yep, that one right there. As we start out this issue, Thor had just... in the previous issues, we had just finished defeating the Mangog. Even though he really didn't defeat the Mangog, all he did was stall him until Odin woke up from his Odin sleep to defeat the Mangog, but whatever.
We let things happen the way they needed to happen.
Now, I've only read the Mangog issues and these issues. Thor doesn't really do a whole lot.
He declares a lot.
He does, yes.
He declares quite a bit.
He fights a lot of the other Asgardians in fun times. But this is all, again, listeners, this is early Thor. I understand what Thor does now. Like, we're on the cusp of War of the Realms. He is a big player. That's fine. I understand. Just saying, in 1960, he didn't do jack shit.
Thor just seems like a big puppy dog. He's very excitable, very eager to do stuff. But then when he gets there, he's like, all right, what can I do? What do you want me to do?
What do I need to do?
What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Go Odin.
Hit that guy.
Yeah.
Odin, what do I do, Odin? Odin, okay, I do that. Okay. Did I do it good?
Right?
And, you know, I just... That he seems to do that a lot. Like, and in this first comic, he's having this life identity crisis of who is he? Who am I as a person?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's... he doesn't know if he's Donald Blake or if he's Thor. And if he's Thor, who's Donald Blake? But if he's Donald Blake, what happened to Thor?
Like before he became Thor.
Yeah, he's got an identity crisis, which I feel like every hero goes through at some point in time. Actually, just went through that with Daredevil in the issues we read, where he was questioning being Matt Murdock. Well, he was questioning being Daredevil at first, and then he's like, "Well, no, now I'm not. I don't want to be Matt Murdock anymore." It's just like, why? I get it. Sell stories, but yeah. Why?
And it's like, I mean, you are who you are because you've made the choices you've made up until this point.
But in his case, as we'll see.
Yeah. And, you know, we can just go ahead and get into that. So, like I said, Thor just got back from, back to not New York, but wherever, back to town, whatever town he was in, after defeating the Mangog. And he reverts back to Donald Blake. And then he has a, I guess you could say crisis of conscience, where he's wondering who was first. Is Donald Blake the real person? Or is Thor the real person? And then we get into what we were saying earlier and with the retelling of Thor's origin story. And I was really happy to see that they just reprinted the issue. Like, it literally is just straight lifted from the original journey to this with added colors. And it's actually interesting. I've been on this run of superhero origin stories. Because in Daredevil, we had his first appearance. In Swamp Thing, we had his first appearance. I mean, Swamp Thing's first appearance, but not Alec Collins. That's a whole different situation. So it's really, really cool to see it, you know, another origin story for a well-known hero.
It always is really interesting to see where those characters came from.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they started.
Yeah. And in this one, we'll just run through it real quick. Saturn men from the moon show up, and
always gotta have moon men.
Basically, yeah, these giant rock creatures.
Was that really what they were called, Saturn men? I missed that.
Well, it wasn't in when I went to look back at Journey into Mystery. That's what it was called,
Saturn men from the moon.
I believe it was.
Well, on Saturn, they are mighty beings. Therefore, they are Saturn men.
Oh, I'm sorry. Stone men from Saturn.
Okay.
That's my bad. They are Saturn men, yes. Not from the moon. They're stone men from Saturn. They definitely look like Karg from Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok
movie. Oh, yeah. I get that reference now. Yeah.
But, I'm pretty sure they're the same race. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, I don't know a lot of Thor stuff.
Yeah. The movie. About as much as I know.
I mean, I read his origin story.
Yes. Same here. Same to me. But what ends up happening is this fisherman sees the Saturn men, reports it to the authorities. The authorities, blow him off like he's just a drunk. Donald Blake, who was visiting, and this is all taking place in Norway, overhears this going on, and he wants to, I guess, see it for himself?
Yeah, he's all like, let me check this out, because obviously that is the most likely of things to happen.
It makes total sense. But as he is, you know, looking on, they notice him, he runs away, he gets basically locked up in this cave.
Because he trips, and he's like, oh no, I trip!
Yeah.
It's dramatic.
It's a damsel in distress, right? the one thing I find funny... Oh, go ahead.
I found it even more funny because I've looked at Thor as this, like, puppy dog. Like, oh no! I'm lost! I'm trapped in this well, lassie. Come help me! And then this origin story, he's like, he trips and falls, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yep.
This dog! Like, this poor thing, I want to go help him. Trips and falls, and...
But he recovers.
He does recover.
Yeah, he's running away, and he says that they're on like chasing after him, and they're catch up to him. So he hides in this cave. And I feel like he's been in this cave for some time.
I was wondering about that. They obviously weren't chasing him very determinedly or quickly.
Or maybe because they're stone men, they walk all blocky and take forever.
Chunk.
Yeah. But what ends up happening is, while he's in his cave, he ends up finding this the secret chamber that has a gnarled wooden stick on it. And he decides to use it to try and move this boulder out of the way so he can get to the back of the cave.
It's obviously somewhat special, though, because there's this just block hanging out with a stick on top.
By itself. Yeah.
Kind of King Arthur-esque.
I also am questioning his thought pattern of this stick that's about 3 feet long and maybe, 2 inches in diameter is going to
move
this giant boulder.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the leverage thing and trying to get underneath it, but no.
He's a medical doctor.
He's not a doctor yet.
No. Donald, this Dr. Blake, or Donald Blake is a doctor.
Oh. He's on holiday. Oh.
He's on vacation. I don't know. But he ends up striking the stick against the boulder, which turns him into Thor because the stick was actually Mjolnir. Sure. I don't know.
And yeah, and then that's when we're like, oh, that makes sense.
It makes total sense.
This is a comic. This is the journey that we're on.
Yeah. Yes. 1962 comics.
Yeah. I do want to bring up, so yeah, this is the picture. This is the picture I was talking about with his funky looking face. I don't know. It just is funny.
This one?
Yep. It's the art style.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but he looks very goofy looking.
He's just like,
Adoy.
I'm page 9 of the issue.
Look, I lift up this boulder. Adoy.
Hi, I lift up boulder.
Word?
Oh, dude, are you proud of me? I lift up boulder.
The other thing I will bring up is the entire time he's Thor, he's speaking normally. Not normally, but his sentences are English, very English.
He is speaking in a normal, modern sentence structure.
Versus the Thor we have now is very
not
Shakespearean.
Yes.
So
how did he become a Shakespeare?
Maybe spending all that time in Asgard. I don't know. But he's basically playing around with Mjolnir, figuring out that he has to keep hold of it to be Thor. The minute he lets go, he has a minute until he reverts back to Donald Blake, and then he's just smashing things and testing it out.
Because if you find a magic hammer, why not hit everything in sight with it and see what it knocks over?
I mean, to be fair, I probably would try and figure out what was going on and be like, hey,
that tree,
what can this do?
Fuck your tree.
But it's like, oh, I tap the hilt once and a storm brews. I tap it three times and I get thunder. Like, how the hell do you know that?
Well, yeah, I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's very precise.
Yes.
And he found this all out very quickly.
Yeah, I mean,
this is all what he remembers from his legends in his school days.
He
was a very good student, apparently.
But he became a doctor of medicine. Like, I don't recall North mythology in school. Get a doctorate. But hey, could be wrong, I guess. I don't know.
I also don't remember when, like, flying pterodactyls came in.
Or specific instructions for using magic hammers.
Yeah. The flying pterodactyl thing, that was a
three-dimensional picture.
Yes, a picture that the Saturn men used to scare off the armed forces, the armed aircrafts, that they apparently got so scared by this giant being that just appeared after they saw all these spaceships in the air that they all bailed out of their expensive planes that will then go crash.
Yes.
Totally makes sense.
1960s comics, everybody. But Thor is, well, Donald Blake is seeing it all. He reverts to Thor, and he goes a-smashing.
Smash.
He destroys all of doesn't destroy the Siren Men, but destroys their weapons. Takes apart their mechanical robot that they put up against them.
The Mechano Monster.
Yes.
Mechano Monster.
Which, that thing. I don't even like that. This will definitely get him. No, it won't.
A metal cage, that'll stop him.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
Oh, classic. But, you know, what ends up happening, the Saturn men fly off, Nato comes in and takes care of everything, and Donald Blake goes back home. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to Donald Blake in the present, and he's reminiscing again about how he, you know, met Heimdall on the Rainbow Bridge, how he got into Asgard and met Odin for the first time, and then he made friends, and we see a montage of...
Which then we start getting into, like, super trippy pictures.
We have got this montage of the Warriors Three, Loki, I believe that's Boulder up there up top, Hercules down here at the bottom. I can't remember who this guy is. I don't know if that's the anime. I don't know if that's Kalbeck. Not Kalbeck.
With the...
That's DC.
Which guy?
The horn?
That guy down there.
Oh, that guy down there. Yeah, I don't remember.
Ulig, maybe? I don't know. It's a being. It's a guy.
Yeah.
The wooden club?
Yeah, him. And then he is also talking about meeting Jane Foster and how she rejected him when he proposed marriage and to Thor. But then he found love with the goddess Sif,
mm-hmm.
that apparently was a better match for Thor, not so much Donald Blake. And I don't know if she knows about Donald Blake.
She just knows him as Thor?
Yeah.
I think she just knows him as Thor.
I think so. And I'm thinking back to the last time I read Thor with Tariq the Magog. She was injured, and she was in his hospital, and he's... talking to her as Donald Blake, and she knows the cadence, but he doesn't reveal that he's Thor right away. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's really interesting. I didn't think about that until literally just now.
Surprises!
Yeah, that happens. By the end of the issue, he's still trying to figure out the question, who is Donald Blake? Is Donald Blake a myth? If he is a myth, then why am I betraying him?
Yeah,
what happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
But if he's real, where's Thor? And he has all these questions.
Yeah.
Because you always have to question.
Because what would comics be if we didn't question who we were in comics?
Right.
Just like real life people.
Yeah, got that right. And that will end this first issue.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Thor story.